Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
All right. So why have you got name badges on? Yeah, you haven't got a clue, Alan. Well, I'll tell you. Okay. So basically, it's to show me what your names are, and for you to know what your names are too. Because you know, I don't know if you've ever forgotten your own name, but it is.
Sorry, I don't know.
You might have done. Now, when I used to work on market stalls, very different time in my life, and they were sometimes fun, sometimes not, but what I used to enjoy in my own little world that I used to live in was I used to love it when people used to, in their lunch breaks, they used to maybe leave Superdrug or Boots or something like that in Altrincham, and they used to have name badges on, okay, with their names on, right, and I used to love it because I thought, oh, here's a challenge to pick my dull life up. I'm going to use their name to say hello. So, hello, John, how you doing? But not look at the badge, look at their eyes and go, hello, John, how you doing? And see them for a minute, because they're so used to having the name badge on, they forget it's on. And they're like, how do you know my name? You can see their eyes going, how do you know? But the beautiful thing was, because I used their name, they were like, whoa, something quite powerful about using someone's name. And in ancient times, the name meant a lot more than it does now. So take a name like Jacob. Anybody know what Jacob means? Yeah, or deceiver. Yeah. Not a great name to have, in my opinion. I wonder if many Jacobs know that nowadays. What does the name Jesus mean? Savior. Yeah. Okay. Anybody know what the name Alan means? No, quite the opposite. It means, Alan, you're going to love this, it means handsome. And your badge has just fallen off. So what comes to mind for you when you think of your name? I'm not just talking about your name, I'm talking about you. What comes to mind when you think of you, your name? What is your identity? So if you want to put that first slide up, Tim. First of all, what is identity? What does it mean? What is identity? And then we're going to look at why do humans need an identity? And last of all, we're going to look at the one and only identity that we need. Okay? So first of all, let's have a look at this. What is identity? Maybe you've never heard of the word identity before, but I'm going to do my best to explain it. Okay, let's put that first picture up. So who is this?
Yeah.
Correct, right. So what comes to mind for you when you see that picture? And the name, you hear the name Madonna. What comes up to now? There could be some... Pardon? Pardon?
Madonna,
yeah.
Right,
okay, you're using that in another way. Okay, well, let me just tell you some facts about this lady, okay? So, her name is associated with music, success in music. In fact, let me give you these stats about Madonna, okay? She has sold 300 million records. She's the best-selling female artist of all time. Yeah. She's made $1.4 billion just from concert tickets. She's voted VH1 number one greatest woman in music. And she has a net worth of $800 million. Her name is associated with this and so much more, isn't it? I mean, this lady is well known. And many people, many young people, certainly in my day, wanted to be her. Okay, they used to dress like her. Even put their hair like her. Yet this, listen to this, this is what she says about herself. Now you would have thought with all of this success, with all of that talent, she would have been a happy lady, would you? Mm-hmm. Right, so this is what she says about herself. Do you want to put that up? She says, and all of my will has been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with that fear. I push past one spell of inadequacy and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage and think I'm mediocre and uninteresting. And I find a way to get myself out of that again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that always is pushing me and pushing me. Isn't that interesting? That she'd hit the top pretty much in many people's eyes, and yet she thought, I'm still mediocre on the inside. I must push on for more and more and more. Isn't that interesting? So let's have a look at this next picture. Anybody tell me who he is?
Jim Carrey.
Well done. So this, what just comes to mind when you think of Jim Carrey? Yes, very good. So this guy has done 37 Hollywood films. He's a funny guy. He's done Dumb and Dumber and all sorts of things. Pretty funny films. He's one of the richest actors in the world. He's got $150 million. Would you think that this guy would be happy with his life? Here's what Jim Carrey says about his life. Very interesting statement, he said. He says, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of so they know that it's not the answer. Isn't that interesting? That's someone who has lots and lots of money, lots and lots of success. He's looked upon as being an amazing comedian. And yet he says, this is not the answer. I find that very, very interesting. Because these are the things that in our culture we look upon and say, that's the goal. Full bank account, big house, success, fame, my name in lights. And yet the people who have it say, actually, it doesn't satisfy. I want to put another picture up here. You won't know who this guy is. If you do, I'll give you a pound. Pardon? Very close, but not right. That's, he's called Harold Abraham. So he's the guy in Chariots of Fire who was alongside Eric Liddell, okay? So this guy was quite the athlete, all right? He ran in the Olympics in 1924. He ran in the Summer Games of the same year, and he beat the best in the world. Not only did he do 100 meters, he did the high jump. You don't hear of that very often. Okay, and he was winning both. He did the 100 meters, and it was on a cinder track, not the rubber track you get nowadays. So how on earth he did 100 meters in 10.6 seconds is incredible. His words were, after all of his success, this is his life, and now in 1 hour's time, this is before his race, I will be out there again, and I will raise my eyes and look down that corridor on the track, 4 foot wide, and with 10 lonely seconds, I will justify my whole existence. What does that mean? That means for Harold Abrahams, his entire life was justified apparently in 10 seconds. If he lost, he couldn't justify his life. If he won, he would justify his life. Is that sad? It's said that this guy rarely smiled. So what would his name badge be? Gifted, world-beating athlete. But he knew deep down that there was a lot more to his name badge than met the eye. We might look at Jim Carrey and say, wow, what a talented actor. But he knows behind his name badge, there's a lot more that meets the eye, a lot of insecurity. What about Madonna? You look at her, you see her name badge, Madonna, wow, such success and gifting. But behind the name badge, such insecurity. So we've seen a musician at the top of a game. We've seen an actor at the top of his game who's not satisfied. Then we've seen a sportsman beating the world but has little joy. See, many in these in this world look to these icons and say, if only I was like that person. Did you ever say that when you were younger? Yeah. I used to want to be like Steve Cram, the great athlete. And my hair was similar, but that was about it. And in those days, I did have some hair. Or you might say, if I only had some money, so I had some money to do this and that with, or if only I was famous. And we place our entire identity on trying to reach that goal. Riches, success, and a known name. Now, culture, if you know what culture is, plays a huge part in our identity. And I want to talk just a little bit about this. See, culture is very interesting, okay? You might say, well, I have no culture. We all have a culture, okay? And we're soaked in it. Many of us don't even know it. So our Western culture has become one of the individual. Your achievements are very important. Your achievements, not anybody else's, your achievements are very important. Your children are paramount. Your finances, your successes, your possessions. So it's whether in your jobs, in your finances, in your families, in your children, or in possessions, these are placed as very high things in the Western culture. Pressure is put upon individuals to make themselves great, whether it's in your job or even in your school. And each one of these good things, we are called on to latch onto and make them our identity. We add them to our name badge. So you may be gifted in English language or gifted in whatever. And you take that thing and you say, well, that's how I'm gifted. I'm going to make myself great in that. This is where my gifting is. What would you say yours is today? See, our identity, and we see this around the world, can even come from our country. Have you ever seen this? People who are really patriotic about their country, they will fight for their country and they'll lift their flag up with great pride. Or it can come from their work or their sport. Their identity can come from their football club. Yeah, that's a clear one, isn't it, Alan? Yeah? Yeah? So people will live and die for their football club, and they even go to the church that is Etihad. Yeah. But what about having your identity in your illness? I've seen this a few times. Again, going back to my days when I used to work on the market, I used to get specific people coming to my stall just for a chat, and they had specific illnesses which ruled their life, and it was so sad to see. But their entire conversation was how ill they were. Oh yes, well, I've got this and it's really tough, and I did this and this, and their entire conversation was about their illness, and it had become their identity. Which is really sad, isn't it? See, in ancient cultures, let's say in Asia, Middle East, and other areas too, the culture is very opposite to our Western culture. And sometimes we think, my goodness, that's so different to ours. Because your identity is found in your family. Okay? And in your family name. So in some cultures, they put our second name, say mine is Armstrong, it would be Armstrong Andrew. It's interesting because actually the second name is far more important than the first. So their identity is found in their family and what their family does as a unit and in the entire community. So you don't bring shame on your family name. You provide for your entire family. When your elders, when your grandfather or whatever, your grandmother is getting old, they live with you. You don't put them in a home. This is a very Eastern thing. They don't put them in a home, they stay with the family. Even down to the job, that many times it's the same job is handed down from generation to generation. And in our ancient times, even in this country, when this country was very different, second names were given for what the person did. Isn't that interesting? So if you were a smith, so if you made things out of metal, your second name was Smith. There's a lot of Smiths in this country. But handed down over the centuries. And in many ways this can be greatly restricting, because imagine if you thought, well, I'm really gifted in, think of something, history. But actually the family is just used to selling eggs. Wow, I'm on the ball today. And I don't want to sell any eggs anymore. I want to do history. And your father says to you, well, this family has sold eggs for thousands of years. You ain't going to be selling any history. And that is the truth. And you had to say, well, forget history. I'll be selling eggs. Very rare that anybody would go it alone, because that was not the culture. They would take the same job handed down over the centuries. So both cultures, the Western and the Eastern, have huge weaknesses. So we look at what identity is. Now, why do humans need an identity? Why do we grasp onto an identity? Why is that something we are after? So, for the answer, we have to go back to the maker's instructions. Now, Emily started working at IKEA, okay, and this is one of the places, I like IKEA, okay? What I don't like about IKEA are the instructions. So if you've ever got, our house is full of IKEA. And if you ever buy a wardrobe or a cabinet, you've got instructions there with no writing. All you've got is pictures. And it's this crazy little guy with a huge nose who's pointing at stuff and he's saying, do this, but don't do this, right? So don't do this first, do this first. And I'm like, oh, come on, I don't need you. It's crazy. So I'll put the things, I'll get the room sorted, I'll put the little bits in order like this, and I'll say, well, that's obviously first. And I've done this many times 15 years ago, and I put this stuff together, and woe betide me because the door's on the wrong side. And it's one of the great problems of IKEA. It has to be according to the instructions. If it's not according to the instructions, you get right to the end of the build and you find out something is out of kilter and you have to go back to the start. Oh my God. You can see it really affects me, okay? It's happened so many times. What do I do now? I follow the instructions to the law, okay? I do. Seriously do. I don't take shortcuts with IKEA.
Wow, in front of all these
people. Come and have a look at the latest bills that I've put together. There's no problems, okay?
And they keep it quiet.
But this is biblical. IKEA is biblical. kind of. Yeah, maybe not. The Bible explains that God created us for unity and closeness and to have our identity in Him. Okay? So His greatest desire was always that we would find our identity in Him. That we would have His identity with all of our different giftings. How many giftings are in this room? We could write down all the things that maybe God has gifted you in, and we find those things in Him. Isn't it wonderful? But we know what happened in the garden. Graham mentioned it already in earlier in the song. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden, that man said no to God's instructions. If you've read it in Genesis, he said, no, I don't want to use your instructions for life. What I will do is I'll use my own instructions for life. And what happened was sin came in because of that very thing. And all we see now is people trying to find their identity in created things. That's it. It's incredible. So sin, like a cancer, destroyed that relationship with the one who created us with a perfect identity. And we went our own way. And since then, I'm going to read this incredible verse to you. It's not on the screen, but I'm going to read this incredible verse to you that Paul wrote. Absolutely amazing. It just explains it perfectly. It's in Romans chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, verses 21 to 23. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. So in other words, they changed the identity God had given them. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their heart to all sorts of sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Isn't it interesting? We were created to have our identity in Christ. And what we did was we said, no, Lord, I would prefer to have my identity in myself. But that is going against the instructions. Just like me building those IKEA cupboards, I said, oh, I know best. I'll put this up. I know what I'm doing. It's obvious. And sure enough, it went belly up. Yeah? The drawers didn't shut properly, and sure enough, for man, the drawers don't shut properly. When we look at this world today, when we look at Syria, when we look at this country, when we look at Brexit, I hate that word. When we look at these things, we think, this is not the maker's instructions of this division. See, these things cannot satisfy because they were never meant to. We were never meant to find our joy, number one joy, in things around us. We were meant to find our number one joy in Him. Do you know that? What did God do in that garden? What did God love to do? Isn't this beautiful? In Genesis, have you ever read it? What did God love to do with Adam? He used to love to come down and walk with him. Isn't that tremendous? He didn't used to just lay down the law or anything. What God wanted to do with Adam, his highest creation, was just to walk. What does that look like? Walk and talk with him in the cool of the day. Isn't that great? I love that. We went our own way and we attempt to satisfy ourselves with the things that never satisfy. So for Madonna, the riches, the gifting, the music, the new styles, they do not satisfy. Yeah, for Jim Carrey, with his great gifting and his comedy, and all that, that people look to and say, wow, that guy's funny, I wish I was him. He says, I wish you could taste it, because it does not satisfy. What's your goal today? Do you have a goal? What is it? Is it to be accepted? What is it? What do you place as number one today? I want to tell you that if it isn't God Himself, it won't satisfy. You might reach your goal, but I hope you don't, because what you find is it doesn't satisfy. But actually, maybe that might be the great thing. I've had that. I've got some of the things I've asked for and thought they would be the thing that would satisfy me, but actually when I got it, I found there was something else. I've had goals in my business where I thought, if I could get this, I would be happy. And so I've actually attained it. I've got this, and I found, there's another part to this. And you go on and you try to get that because you think by it you will be happy. But in all of the created things, there is nothing that will truly satisfy. There is only one well that satisfies, and that is the Holy Spirit. And He is a deep well. So this is our true design, but we cannot attain it in our sinful state. Did you desire God when you were younger, truly? I didn't. I don't know about you. I didn't desire God. I had no idea who He was, and I didn't want Him. I thought there might be a God, but I didn't really want Him. What it took was for God to come down, God to make Himself known to me, then give me a thirst for Himself, then I reached out for Him. Many think that, I looked for God and found Him. It's not biblical. What God does is He looks for you and gives you the ability to see and hear. Very, very interesting. So we cannot attain this in our sinful state. And we don't even want it in our sinful state. But this is an amazing thing. Because I don't know if you've read the Gospel of John. Anybody read the Gospel of John in here? A few people, okay. I'd say you can't say it's the best gospel. But I'd say it's the best gospel. Did you know that in this amazing gospel, Jesus prayed for you? Do you know that? It's not in any of the other gospels. It's just in John. He prays before he goes to the cross specifically for you. Okay? Just before he goes to the cross. So, would you expect it to be a powerful prayer? Would you expect it to be a prayer that you would want to hear? Do you want to hear it? Just a few of you want to hear it, okay. This is incredibly important, and I'm going to read it to you, okay? My prayer, that's small, isn't it? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Is that us?
Yeah.
So he's saying, my prayer is not for them. Who's the them? It's the disciples. All right? I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Were you saved through the disciples? Actually, you were, because the disciples saved others. They saved others. And the message came down thousands of years, and then it came to you if you belong to Christ today. Through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they be, listen to these words, I'm going to take it slowly. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world doesn't know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known to, in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that one of the greatest things you'll ever read? Just go back to that then. I've given the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So can we be as bold as to think that so there's a Father, Son and Holy Spirit since forever have loved one another in perfection and all give each other preference in that beautiful way. Can we be bold, so bold to say that we are being brought into this? I mean, this is incredible language that Jesus is using here. He's given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, Jesus in us by his Holy Spirit. And if you belong to Christ today, that is you. You have Jesus by his Holy Spirit within you. Do you know that? And you in me, so that it may be brought to complete unity. That you love me for, and may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. He prays for us to be one as he is one with his Father. He prays for us to be in him as he is in the Father. I think this is incredible. But what he's talking about here, he doesn't use the word identity, but this is it. Our identity really is found in Christ. This is it. He places us in Christ so that we might once again come back and find our identity in Christ. Us in him and him in us. Then we take a lifetime working that out. Okay? I don't know what age you gave your life to Christ. I was 20, about 24. And since that time, I'm now, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm now about 50. And I'm just right at the start of working out what God has done. And that I don't have to go reaching out for my identity in business success. These things are okay, but I know, I'm starting to realize that they actually don't satisfy. There is one who satisfies, and he deserves the first place. And then everything else comes neatly underneath. But I find in myself, I resist that so many times. And I put other things first, and then I pay the consequences. Because I find, well, this doesn't satisfy. Oh gosh, yes, Lord, it's only you who satisfies. You are my identity, Lord. How did this take place? See, Jesus on the cross as a perfect sacrifice takes on himself our old identity of selfishness, greed, and lust. Isn't that incredible? This is what happened on the cross. He took on the identity of sin was upon him. He became sin for us. Our identity of selfishness fell upon him. Rebellion fell upon him. And the divine exchange was that then, at that point, he gives us his identity of love, joy, peace, and the possibility of obedience. Are there some, I'm going to have to say question, are there some sins that you just cannot get rid of? That go round and round, repetition sins, I think they're called, you cannot break them. Well, I want to tell you, in the identity that is in Christ, there is no sin that is unbreakable. In yourself, you cannot really break them. I found smoking difficult enough to give up. But when I became a Christian, the Lord snapped it for me. Incredible power. I started to understand, wow, Lord, I've tried this to break that before, and I've had no chance. But the Lord snapped it like a twig. But the power is in him. In his identity. That's where the power is. This is the very thing, I remind you again, this is the very thing that God wanted in the beginning with Adam. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell in Adam. Isn't that interesting? But we're in a greater place than Adam was. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and gives us the possibility of living out our identity. We're not perfect. You know that. I know that. But we're starting to learn about our true identity. I want to ask you today, are you starting to learn about your true identity? Where will you find about this? You'll find it in the New Testament. You'll find it as you read the New Testament. You will find out all the possibility of how you and I can live in success, depending on the Holy Spirit to show us our new identity. I've said to you before, I've been tempted to sin. I've been tempted to think in the wrong way. And I've been driving along in my van, white van man, and I've been thinking in a certain way, and the Holy Spirit has dropped into my heart straight away. You don't have to go there. You don't have to do that anymore. I've given you a new identity. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to do the old things anymore you once did, because I've given you a new identity. But there was a time when you were in the old identity where really it's kind of like you didn't really have a choice. It came naturally to you to go down the wrong road, and you loved it, even though it brought shame afterwards. But those days don't have to be anymore. If you belong to Christ today, he's given you the possibility of victory in your life. Do you want that? There's nothing quite like that. This is why the second Adam, which it says in Romans, Jesus is his name, came, who was fully obedient to his Father in our place. He was rejected so that we can be accepted. Isn't that good? So it wasn't anything you did. It's what Jesus did upon the cross that has come to you and credited your account. So the kingdom of God comes within you by his Holy Spirit and brings you this identity. Yeah, we'll look at that in a minute. It's a bit small. That's a bit small in my opinion. So we're accepted, we're no longer striving to be loved, because we start to learn that actually I am loved. We don't have to do things to try and get love. We find out with the ultimate one loves us. Isn't that great? We can enjoy good things such as sports and football, but they don't have to be our number one. We can have them in the correct order, that we place them, Jesus first. This is the commandment, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Those are the most important commandments. And God knows that for us. These are our IKEA instructions for humans. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us go there. So as we place God himself at the top, we can subdue all the rest. But isn't it hard to do? Have you found that? Isn't it hard to do? Are you going to be honest with me today? I find that hard to do. Why? Because we're still in these fallen bodies which have pulls towards the old rubbish, don't we? Yet we can ask of him, Lord, help me today. Help me live as my identity is calling me to live. We place him as number one daily. Jesus said to a group of people by the Sea of Galilee, he said, don't work for the food that doesn't endure. Okay, so they saw Jesus feed the 5,000, and this caused a great stir in Israel. It's going to do, isn't it? Right? And what happened? Well, then loads of people started following him, saying, wow, he does these miracles where we don't even have to go shopping. We can get our food from him. And Jesus says, don't come to me for the food that doesn't endure. In other words, if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever eaten anything, but if you've ever eaten anything, you'll find out you'll get hungry again. Have you ever noticed that? It's wired, isn't it? It's crazy, right? So you eat something, and then within a couple of hours or so, depends on the size of the meal, you start to get rumbles in your stomach again. Jesus is saying, don't worry about that kind of food. Actually, come to the one who gives real food first. Isn't that good? Who's he? He is the bread of heaven. He's the one who gives you your real identity. This is where our real identity is found. Not in our pursuit of success. Not in our trying to be loved. But actually in finding out that in him he has done all things well. So we learn to enjoy our inheritance riches that are not of this world, but they are literally out of this world. I thought you'd like that. I came out, it just dropped into my heart last night. I thought, I'll say it again. We learn to enjoy our inheritance riches that are not of this world, but they're literally out of this world. That's for your benefit. So your name badge that you got on today, I hope you've still got them on. Mim's covering hers. If you've still got your name badges on, what would you put next to your name badge? Would you put gifted student? Yeah? Would you put gifted musician? Yeah, once upon a time, there was a guy called Jonah, right? And someone said to him on a boat that was about to go down, they said, who are you? And what do you do? And he said, my name's Jonah, and I'm a worshipper of the living God. Isn't that good? I mean, even though he was just about to get eaten by a whale, that was a great way of describing himself. And what would you describe yourself as today? You know, Mary, a worshipper of the living God. Tom, a lover of God. Yeah, Tim, a deep lover of the Holy Spirit. Or do we go back to our old identities and say, whatever your name is, warrior or people pleaser, or even, yeah, I'm a great parent. So you put your whole identity is on something that you believe you're good at, and that's my identity. I'm a good businessman. Yeah? Or is your identity first in Christ and he is in me? Imagine if we, just as a small body like this of people, got to grips with who we were in Christ. Imagine if we delved a little bit deeper and we started to understand just who we are in Christ. That we are fully accepted. Can we just stand up for a moment? I'm just going to read a few of these things. I'm going to need a lot of faith to read that. So I'm going to read this instead. I'm going to read a few of these over us. Let's just close our eyes, just while the band comes up. Okay, these are for you. If you belong to Christ today, these belong to you. They're yours, okay? So if I, it's like me taking you to a cash point, putting your PIN number in, and then showing you your account, and saying, this is yours. And you're going, wow, I never knew I had that much in my account. Well, I'll just do that today, okay? This is one of your identities in Christ, and there are many. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called a child of God. And that is what you are. That's over you today, okay? He himself bore your sins in his body on the cross, so that you might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Isn't that good? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. And last of all, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Guys, we are temples of the living God with a new identity, an identity to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. I just wonder where we are at today. Do we thirst for this? Because if we do, God has given us every possibility of loving him well, of giving our lives over to him.